In 2014, the warden at the South Dakota State Penitentiary enacted a more stringent policy restricting access to obscene materials. Inmate Charles Cisney sued in the U.S. federal court in Sioux Falls, leaving that court to balance an inmate's civil rights against the need to maintain a safe and orderly institution. Under the newest policy, not only pictures are banned, but also prose, and images that can be banned include nudity in any context, including classical art or modern photography. The federal court granted summary judgment to Cisney, saying that the latest policy was on its face unconstitutional. But the court also considered whether specific materials confiscated from Cisney were obscene and evaluated them using an earlier version of the prison's policy. The state appealed the summary judgment to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. The inmate cross-appealed the court's decision that his pretty face comic books could constitutionally be confiscated. A three-judge panel heard oral arguments in St. Paul on October 19th and issued its opinion at the end of March. SDPB's Victoria Wicks explores this case.
The most succinct and memorable definition of obscenity comes from U.S. Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart. In 1964, the High Court was trying to decide if Louis Malle's film The Lovers was obscene, and Stewart wrote in his concurrence, "I know it when I see it, and the motion picture involved in this case is not that." Stewart noted that the court was, quote, "faced with the task of trying to define what may be indefinable." And he concluded that criminal laws against obscenity are limited constitutionally to hardcore pornography. Stewart's "I Know It When I See It" did not resolve the issue.
There's a little cartoon that shows two gentlemen in black robes strolling along, and one of them is saying, "If it turns me on, it's smut."
In November 1972, attorney Burton Marks cites a New Yorker cartoon while arguing for the plaintiff in Miller v. California. He expresses frustration over the court's inability to define obscenity.
"We're back again before the court since January of this year to re-argue the matter and to discuss with the court what one of my colleagues described as the continuing saga of life in the pits, or what goes on in the lower courts, because we don't know what actually this court is saying with respect to the pornographer."
In that opinion, issued in June 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court came up with a definition that still reigns today. Critics complain that it's still muddled. It has to do with what an average person applying contemporary community standards would consider offensive. But the definition exempts materials that possess, quote, "serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value." Inside the walls of the South Dakota Penitentiary, it could be difficult to ascertain who the average person is and what the prevailing community standards are, while also trying to balance inmates' rights and safety. Last October, Assistant Attorney General Paul Sweetland told the Eighth Circuit judges why obscene materials need to be controlled inside the pen. He's reading from a 2003 U.S. District Court opinion that upheld the prison's obscenity policy at that time as constitutional.
"Inmate possession of pornography had been an ever-increasing problem. For example, inmates sold, rented, or traded pornographic magazines in violation of other DOC policies. Disputes about the use or return of such magazines resulted in threats against inmates. Certain groups of inmates who were prohibited from possessing pornographic materials, such as sex offenders, could access material from those who were not prohibited from possessing it," end quote. And the district court also noted that there were concerns with the use of pornography to sexually harass staff and to feed unhealthy addictions within the prison walls.
One of the biggest changes in the recent policy is a ban on certain prose. Sweetland says that was enacted to close loopholes in the older policy.
"Certainly common sense tells us that graphic textual descriptions of pornography can have the same negative effects in an institution as pictures can. It can become currency within the institution just the same as a picture can. So that was the experience that the South Dakota Department of Corrections had, and that's why they made the changes that they did."
Sweetland tells appellate judges about two books Cisney was not allowed to have: Pride and Prejudice, the Wild and Wanton edition, and Thrones of Desire, which according to Amazon is subtitled Erotic Tales of Swords, Mist, and Fire.
The books, it would seem, would meet certainly the definition of obscenity from Miller versus California, in the sense that they are works, when taken as a whole, appeal to the prurient interest without any serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value.
The current pornography policy restricts all sexually explicit material as well as core religious, social, political First Amendment material on its face and without reference in the policy to any legitimate penological interests.
Attorney Stephen R. Morrison argues for inmate Charles Cisney, who is serving life for murder. Morrison specifically attacks the prison's ban on the written word, including correspondence between the prisoner and people on the outside, that contains language the prison officials deem unacceptable.
This is a content-based policy. It defies common sense to think that images of the Sistine Chapel, Smithsonian Magazine, Wired Magazine, National Geographic, Guns, Germs, and Steel, images of pre-World War II Parisian art would in any way further legitimate penological interests. It's an exaggerated and overbroad policy because it serves to eradicate an entire category of First Amendment speech.
Morrison says the prison's current policy is no longer constitutional, and there's no proof that it has resulted in fewer problems. When the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals issued its opinion late last month, it focused on how the lower court in Sioux Falls handled the case. That federal court declared the policy facially unconstitutional, which means the restrictions in the policy have been found to be unlawful previously and don't need to be examined point by point. But the lower court also examined the banned materials point by referring to the old policy. And it found all materials legally acceptable, except for 4 anime comic books in the Pretty Face series. Those comics are aimed at teens and depict sexual contact and partial nudity among school-age kids. Appellate judges asked Morrison about the lower court's actions, and Morrison admitted to being puzzled.
I think what was going on was the district court struck the current policy and had to evaluate Pretty Face based on something, so it evaluated it based on the next best alternative, which would be the King policy.
The King policy is the old policy, upheld in 2003. Morrison said he'd like to see the penitentiary return to that.
Remove all of the innovations. What you have left is the King policy. It's been upheld. It's constitutional. It's proven workable.
But that determination lies with the lower court, which is where the appellate court returned the case. In its opinion, the Eighth Circuit said it could not adopt the lower court's analysis of the banned materials because after the lower court had invalidated the entire 2014 policy, there was no current policy left with which to analyze the materials. The court said the federal judge erred when he resurrected the King policy to use as an evaluative tool. Appellate judges quoted precedent to note the difficulty of trying to strike a balance between two competing principles, the rights of prisoners versus the prison's need for order. They wrote that prison walls do not form a barrier separating prison inmates from the protections of the Constitution, but the courts are ill-equipped to deal with the increasingly urgent problems of prison administration and reform. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.